the sugya of Isha Mishum Chitzav. We had a chance to work through the Gemara. We had a chance to see how it expands from being something that first seems very, very local to something that's incredibly broad. From one particular Av of Esh to two Avos, to more than Nezikin, to really the definition of Maisa B'chola Tarakula, this Machlokos Yochum Rish Lakish is very broad and very fundamental. And with that, we saw that the particular Toshmas that the Gemara brought to prove Rabbi Yochanan, and the way in which the Gemara responded to them, really sets up larger nafkaminas in the Machlokas Rabbi Yochum Rish Lakish. Last time we focused on one or two limitations on the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Let's review that and briefly lay out a third, and then turn our attention to the comments of the Nemuka Yosef. The Gemara said, on the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan holds Ishim Shum Chitzav, but not only is it true that when I directly contact something, that's my Maisa, let's say in the world of Hezek, if I punch a vase, so with my own hands, that's clearly gufo. Even, the Gemara tells at the beginning of the second paragraph, if I'm holding a bat and I take a swing and hit the vase, that's also gufo, because it is a direct line of contact. It is one moment where I'm touching the bat and the bat is touching the vase. And it's also true that if I, instead of hitting the vase with my hand or with the bat, I threw a ball at the vase, that's kocho. In the world of regel, and maybe Karen and Shane also, we differentiate. We say you're chayiv, but only chatzi nezek. It's tsraros. In the world of adam hamazik and maisa adam in general, typically kocho kegufo. I threw the ball, I hit the vase, that's my maisa. Rachman Tzlom, a person doesn't act a ritzicha or chilul Shabbos using kocho, that's his maisa. Person does a kinyan using kocho, that's his maisa. Adkan Leka Plukta. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish agree that Kocho Kegufo. Machlokes Yochanan and Rish Lakish is how about if it's a diluted Kocho? It's my Koach together with the Koach Acher. I harness some natural force. I harness the wind. I harness the instincts of an animal to work together with my Koach in accomplishing whatever it is we want to accomplish. So that's where you get into the question of how do you look, and that's your classic situation of Eish. Fellow lights a fire in a particular spot, the wind is blowing, the fire spreads, and it spreads, and it spreads, and it ends up, the fire ends up covering a far larger area than just that one square foot where he had placed his candle, where he had placed his torch. So where he had directly placed it, that's direct Maisa Adam. But then it spread. It spread, and it spread, and it spread. The Hispashtas of the fire, so that's subject to machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says that's the same as shooting an arrow, same as throwing a baseball. That's kocho. In other words, that's maisa adam. It's adam mazik. Adam mazik. You could be chayv if you hurt another person's body. You could be chayv dal dvarim. Adam mazik. You could be chovel. Adam mazik is no patur tamon. In the case of ritzicha, the fellow could be chayv misa, so on and so forth. And Rish Lakish says, no, kochach ma'urvbo, once it's a kochach ma'urvbo, you can't call that my sadam. You're still chayiv, Torah says you're chayiv, but that's merely mamon hamazik. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that's adam hamazik. Now at the end, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan agrees as a mamon hamazik layer as well, just usually it's more than that. Usually a typical case of fire, kiseitzeyesh, the kochach ma'urvbo, it's better than mamon, it's the maisa adam. And the Gemara says at the end, but what's an example of where, even according to Yochanan, it's no longer my Maisa? A case where it's going to be merely Mamon HaMazik, a case where you're going to be Pater on Tamun. What was the example the Gemara gave? What was the category the Gemara gave? The Gemara says, even pure chetz, if I throw a baseball and it hits the window, I throw a baseball, it hits the vase, so that's Kocho Kegufo Amchayev as an Amazik. But let's say there was I threw a baseball at the door, and then as the baseball is flying, someone opens the door. I thought I was going to hit the door. Instead, by the time the ball hits the doorway, the door is open and the ball flies straight in and smashes a painting on the wall. Smashes a glass pane painting. So that's not my chetz. When I threw the ball, it couldn't reach inside the house. When I threw the ball, the door was closed. So when I threw the ball, it was limited. It was bounded by the door. It wasn't going to go more than 20 feet. Once it was in flight, then you open the door. Someone opened the door. That's not part of my original throwing of the chetz. That's not part of my original throwing of the ball. That's what we call kalu lo chitza. His chetz, his arrow, is already done. That's what the Gemara talks about at the end of the sugya of Ishmael Shem Chitzav, Chav Gimel and Aleph. If a fellow lit a fire, but there was a wall around the area. So he knew the fire might spread, but wasn't going to spread past the wall. And then, unexpectedly, the wall comes down, or the door opens, and the fire ends up spreading more than it could possibly have spread when he lit the fire, which is equivalent of when he shot the arrow or threw the ball. So Gemara says, that's kalu lo chitzav, maybe your chayiv, but not as Adam HaMazak. That's not your maitha. Your chetz has stopped. Where else did we see that concept? Where else did we see that concept of kalu lo chitzav? We saw it in Aramaic. In Chav Gimel and Aleph, the Gemara has it in Hebrew. Kalu lo chitzav. His arrows have stopped. His arrows have ceased. On Chavavim Beis, the previous Gemara we worked on, we saw the same thing in Aramaic. The Gemara spoke about Pasuke Mifsiki Gire. Same thing. His arrows are stopped. What was that case? That was a case where a fellow takes a vase and throws it off the roof, and it comes hurtling down at the ground, but there was a trampoline. So the vase was fine until someone comes along and yanks away the trampoline. The Gemara says you can't. That's not part of the original mice of throwing the vase off the roof. That was the second case of Zorak Kli Miro Shagag and Chavav Mabez. The Gemara says that you can't call that part of the original mice of throwing the vase, because the vase, when he threw it, there were pillows down below. There was a trampoline down below, so it was only going to go up until the top of the pillows. So subsequently, someone pulls the pillows away. That's new stuff. That's not part of the original toss. Pasuke Mifsiki Gire. So that's limitation number one on the notion of Kocho in general and Kochach Murba in particular. Limitation number two we spoke about last time was said several Achronim, the Rav wove this together very beautifully. Several Achronim had this idea. Nesivus, Reb Chaim, Chazanesh, woven together by the Rav and by Shechter in the piece in Bikvei Tzon, Siman Zayin, that the idea of Kolachach HaMa'urvbo, this Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan, that the harnessing the other force, natural force, can be considered, it becomes a part of, an integral part of my Maisa, that's only true if there's a Tziruf between my Kolach and the Kolachach. And what creates that Tziruf? The Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin told us it has to be Mitzurif in time. The difference between, remember, the Gemara differentiate between leaving the fellow tied up in the Sahara Desert in the Rahman Tzlan in the case of murder, Kifaso Bechama versus Sov Chama Lavo. Is the Chama already acting when I'm doing my koch, or at least it begins right afterwards, or it only starts a long while later? So that was the second limitation. First limitation on Kocho in general, Kocho Murba in particular, is Kololo Chitzav, Chav Gimel Aleph, Chavav and Beis, and Gemara and Baba Basra also. Number two is this notion that has to be based on Gemara and Sanhedrin and Zayin. It needs to be, you need to have a time connection between my koach and the other koach. The other koach only kicks in later. So, Chamalavo, that's what I did was a gram, and it may be a heinous crime. Gram Ritzicha is a heinous crime, but it's not punishable as an act of Ritzicha. It's punishable, but not a Chiyav Misa. And we said that has, we spoke last time, has broad application in all sorts of areas. All sorts of areas, including Hezek and Reticha and Kinyanim, and also that's in the Sivas points out. The Ksos and the Sivas talk about, Gemara Kiddushin says, I snap my fingers or I whistle and the animal walks over, that could be a Kinyan Meshicha. Kori lo vihi ba'a. I whistle and a human being walks over, that's his maisa. That's not my maisa. But if I whistle and an animal walks over, say, animal's not the baal ha-maisa, that could be considered kochacham urbo, it's my maisa. Yet if I put bait in a net and fish end up swimming towards that, that's not, I'm not kone as soon as the fish starts swimming towards. Why not? Why isn't it kochacham urbo? Why isn't it korilov hiba? Like the Gemara in Kiddushin. And the answer is because korilov hiba is immediate. I whistle, the animal comes. But if you put bait in a net, an hour later, fish are swimming by, they sense the bait, they come over. So that's not koach hachamurvbo. I did my mice at 7 p.m. I baited the net, and then at 9 o'clock, and then 9 o'clock at night, the fish came over. An hour or two later. So that's like sof chamalavo. That's the second limitation, koach hachamurvbo, is it needs to be at the same time or take it from yad afterwards. Then the third one, is beyond really our scope right now, but Reb Chaim points out that every once in a while, Brisker Rav talks about this, every once in a while there'll be a couple of areas of halacha that require a higher standard. Particularly, they seem sort of random, but particularly it comes up most frequently in the world of Shechita, those who are planning to learn Maseches Chulin next year, if any of you could join me here, Shechita and Netilas Yadayim, which is actually also largely a Maseches Chulin sugya in the 8th pack. Shechita and Netilas Yadayim, there's a need for Koach Gavra. You can't just turn the water and let it run. You have to have Koach Gavra. So, Reb Chaim suggests that Koach Gavra, even though Koach Gavra sounds like it's this Aramaic from Maisa Adam, it could be that Koach Gavra is something more. It requires more directness, higher standards than general Maisa Adam B'chal Tarakula. Could be their hand, maybe there are one or two other areas also, in addition to Shechita and Tehillas Yadayim, where Koach Hacham Urvbo would not be enough. That's why I'm going to use gravity, using gravity to get the Shechita knife to hit the right spot, something like that. It could be that in B'chal Tarakula, that would be a Maisa. It's a Maisa Adam, but it's not this even higher standard of Koach Gavra. So that's the third limitation in the world of Yishum Shemachitza. And then, let's turn our attention, Rabbi said, please turn to the Nemukei Yosef. Let's take a peek at what he has to tell us. If you have a traditional, the old school pagination in the back, you're looking at Daf Yudam and Aleph, the Daf Harif. Otherwise, the simplest is just to find, if you have a new Tzura Sadaf, the easiest probably is to find. You give them a base and the brown ones. Okay. You're looking for right after the Mishnah of Hakel Vagdi in the second paragraph, our Mishnah. So let's take a look. If you're using a Vilna Gemara, it's the beginning of the wide lines. Diva Maskal, Ishim Hashem Chitza. Ishim Hashem Chitza, Shit Rav Yochanan. It's as though he did it biyadayim. It's maisa adam. It's adam amazik. It's not mamon amazik. Frekim ukiyosev yikasha loch. You might be wondering the following. Really? I light a fire and then it's mispashet. Again, as we said before, Reish Lakish agrees. The spot where you directly applied the fire, of course, that's maisa adam. I hold a match. I hold a torch to a spot and it gets blackened, that's of course my sada. But the machlokas b'yochanan Reish Lakish is when it spreads. I light it here, but then it spreads and spreads and burns more. And Reish Lakish says, that's all my maisa. He says, I don't understand. How could it be that we light Neir Shabbos? Light Neir Shabbos is a mitzvah drabanan. Second parak of Shabbos, the Memadlikin. So mitzvah drabanan, b'shibinisu daraisa, frektim ukei Yosef. How are you allowed to light a candle? Let's say I light the candle, use easy numbers. Let's say I light the candle at, I light Shabbos, let's say, just for, it'll be simple to talk about candles as opposed to oil. So let's talk about candles. So let's say I have a 4-inch candle. I'm going to light it at 6 o'clock. Let's imagine I light it. Shabbos actually starts at 6:30. I light it at 6. It's going to burn for four. A 4-inch candle is going to burn for 4 hours. An inch an hour until 10 o'clock at night. Sorry, 10 o'clock it's going to go out. 10 o'clock to get to the bottom, it's going to go out. So I lit it at 6, right? And it's burning, burning every half hour. By the time it gets to 6:30, the first half an inch has burnt up. And by 7 o'clock, another half an inch. 8 o'clock, another inch. And so on and so forth, all the way to 10 o'clock. So how do you do that? Or, he says, Mishnah is talking about Machizenes Ha'urbi Medura. I'm going to light, I have a fireplace, so I'm going to light the fireplace before Shabbos. But it may be that not all the logs, if you know from your Boy Scout past, or from learning Parakakones, from learning the Sugya of Isha Mishum Chitza, you know that there are different stages to lighting a fire. And I think it's a Gemara here too. You want the bottom of Chavez and Mebez. Gavza Silt of Ashraga. But you start with fire, and maybe tinder will catch fire very quickly. Then you have smaller pieces of wood and larger pieces of wood. You have tinder, kindling, and fuel. So I'm going to get the fire going, but it's going to take time. You build your fire lay properly. You may light the tinder, and then you have your gavza and your silta. So the silta, the kindling, will catch the smaller pieces, but it'll take time for the gavza, for the logs to catch. So I may set it all up. I put a match in the center, a little magnesium with sparks in the center, and within 5 minutes I have a little fire going in the middle, but there are logs that haven't yet, larger logs, gavza, fuel, that hasn't yet caught. And over the course of the next half hour, it's going to catch on, and then one side of the log will burn, then it'll start burning across. So it's not all lit on Shabbos yet. I lit over here, and then it's going to spread. Parts of the log won't even catch fire until after Shabbos has begun. And it's the Mishnah about Machizna Se'or B'Medur. Mishnah Masech HaShabbos. He says, how could that be? But the Holechas V'Nigmeres had Lakasa B'Shabbos. I lit this part on Friday. But that end of the candle, that end of the log, only begins to catch fire on Shabbos. The bottom 2 inches, the bottom 3 inches of the candle will burn on Shabbos. It's going to light on Shabbos. The fire hasn't reached there but at the time that Shabbos begins. How could that be? Isn't it as though I lit it on Shabbos? Like, if you say Ishu Mishum Mono, the Hispashus of the fire is not considered Maisa. So in the world of Nezikin, I'm Chayiv, but it's not my Maisa. But if you say Yushim Chitza, the Hispashus of the fire is my Maisa, so it's as though I lit it, but it lit on Shabbos. It's even worse than this case. Why? In terms of attributing it back to my Maisa. In the case of Eish, we're not assuming malicious intent. We're not assuming that you were seeking to light a fire that would spread to your neighbor's backyard. Most likely, you lit a fire, you were careless, that's terrible. You were careless and irresponsible, you didn't make sure the fire was out. As a result, it spread. So it was wrong, you were posheya, but it wasn't bimiskaven, and still, even though it was no kavana, it's still your maisa. Kolshkin over here. Iker kavana seishet tidlak v'teich b'shabbos. The whole point of lighting near Shabbos is that it's going to continue to burn into Shabbos. That's the goal. You picked a four-hour candle so that it would still be burning in a quarter to a night. That was the kavana. It's a mamish. It's a mitzvah derabbanan, but it's chil Shabbos deraisa. It's not. But why? Im kol zeh tanan, mishal shnos ha-pesach, another, mishal shnos ha-pesach l'tan, or im chashecha, putting the carbon pesach into the oven, on the spit, right before dark, machizan es orbe meduras beis hamokad, you're lighting the fire, in the fireplace, beis hamokad was I hesitate to use the terminology, break room, but it was a place where the kohanim could go, in the Beis HaMikdash, among other things, to warm themselves. There's a big fireplace. You're walking around all day barefoot on a marble floor, could get pretty chilly. A very, very holy chilliness, but Lamaisa, it's still going to be chilly. Gemara tells us that there they had special medical care for the Kohanim because they were always chilled, and their diet, when they were during the weeks they were in the Beis HaMikdash, they were eating a tremendous amount of fatty meat. And they were walking around in relatively thin clothing barefoot on cold floors, so they need care. So you had in the Beis HaMikdash, they would have a big fireplace where a Kohen could go to warm himself. His neshama is warmed all the time, Beis HaMikdash. But his guf also needs to be warmed. So you go to Beis HaMikdash, but they would light the fire right before Shabbos. Hayitachein. So good, some deem Rabbanan, Isurim Rabbanan, some don't apply in Beis HaMikdash. But you were talking about Maisa, Isurim Daraisa. If that's Maisa Adam, so that's Chilul Shabbos. Oh, Maisa Michal Yom. And he says, not only are there many Mishnayos, we all know this. We all know that all religious Jews set up fires before Shabbos. And it continues into Shabbos. And again, not only a fire where you already have the fire going, even when there's a piece that isn't yet burning. If the whole log is already lit before Shabbos, that's not a shayla. I lit the whole log before Shabbos. But if I have a piece of log that's only going to catch fire on Shabbos, I have a piece of a candle, the bottom few inches of the candle are going to catch fire on Shabbos, so that's a maisa hadlaka on Shabbos. That's my maisa. Ish reshum chitzav. He says, wow. So you might wonder about this. He says, if you're wondering about this kasha, meh. If you think about it more carefully, it's not so difficult. Okay. They say that, I don't know if it's true, that Beis Halevi, hard to imagine it's true. One of the things that, you know, you would put in someone's mouth, but they say that the Beis Halevi was once asked about the difference between himself and his son, Reb Chaim Brisker. And he said, the difference between us, hard to imagine, Beis Halevi said this, on so many levels. But they say, basically, the difference between me and my son is like this. A person comes to me with a kasha. Here's a sugya, here's his kasha. So I say, it's a good kasha. Here's a teres. So we both walk out satisfied. He had a gevaldika kasha, I gave a geshmaka teres, we're all happy. What happens when someone comes to my son, Reb Chaim? So he comes out, he says, here's the sugi, here's my kasha. Reb Chaim shows him that the whole kasha was a mistake because it was based on false premises. You didn't understand the Gemara, you didn't understand the Rambam. So then the fellow walks away dejected. He didn't have any, turns out he had no kasha. And said, my son Reb Chaim, he doesn't feel like giving any teretz. He just pointed there was no kasha to begin with. Now again, that's it's hard to imagine basically if he said that on a lot of levels, on so many levels. Not least of which is, even if it was true, Beis Halevi wouldn't say that. And I think it's a very shallow read on how Reb Chaim learned. But it is worth noting that here the Nimuk Yosef uses that sort of language. He says, if you're bothered by this, once you think about the sugya more carefully, you realize there really is no kasha. Basically, the Nimuk Yosef did say it. E kasha lon, Now again, even though he presents it as there's really no kasha, this is universally to refer to as the kasha and the teretz of the Nemukah Yosef. So again, even if Reb Chaim would have used language of there's no kasha, let me say it was a good kasha and there was a teretz. Now here, let's see what the Nemukah Yosef's answer is. The Achronim are not universally excited about his teretz. And let's take a look. Again, if you're using a traditional print, so we're in the fourth wide line on Yud Amid Aleph Bedap Erech. Kina'ai, we're right after we quote Shabbos Yud Testimonies. Kina'ai v'milser shaper lo kashalon. If we think about the sugya more carefully, we realize there isn't a kasha. Why? He says, yes, it is true, and it's not true. You have to think about what are the assumptions that we're making. The kasha is built on which assumptions? The assumption that Yishim Shemchitzav, yes, we do posit Yishim Shemchitzav. And does that mean that everything that happens is considered to be my Maisa, and the spread, the playing out of my original Maisa is also considered to be my Maisa? That is true. Harei Chiyuv Mishemchitzav, Kezorei Kachetz. It is like shooting an arrow. He says, but think about that metaphor. Think about that description. The analogy, the Nemukah Yosef argues, is quite precise. B'shosh yotza achit mitachas yado. As soon as the arrow leaves your hand, b'osa sha'a nasa hakol. Everything was done then. And I translate precisely na'asa as was done rather than happened. Everything was done then. What does he mean? V'lo chashvinan le'maisa dimikano lahaba.
we don't see as a maisa that happens later. In other words, he's saying, if a fellow shoots an arrow, or even talking about baseballs, so I take a baseball and I lob it. I throw the baseball at 5:09 and 12 seconds. The other day we talked 5:07, so that's 2 minutes later. 5:09 and 12 seconds, right? That's when the baseball leaves my fingers. 5:09 and 12 seconds. At 5:09 and 14 seconds, the baseball makes contact with the next door neighbor's window. Shatter. At 12 seconds, it leaves my hand. At 14 seconds, it smashes the window. So it's my maisa, right? That's clearly my maisa. That's koach mamish. No, even koach murva. Right? That's chitzav. That's chitzav. So what does that mean? Ki'ilu chitzav is my maisa. My maisa when? I mean, it says, though I... My maisa means that when it's koko, it's as though I walked over to the window with a ball and smashed it like a hammer. Right? It's as though I did that when? At 12 seconds or at 14 seconds? Is it as though, well, it's like as though I'm flying along with a baseball? And when it hits at 14 seconds, it says, I'm smashing it then. He says, it can't be. Right? You throw the ball, and then you realize, oh, that was a bad idea. Right? And you're watching slow motion, right? You're watching it like, right? And there's what? Nothing. You can do. We have a name for nothing you can do. Onus. What's the din of onus? Rachmana patre. If there's nothing you can do, you're not chayev. He says, 1 second. Lo chashvin le maisa de mikano lahaba. It's not that we consider it as though I broke the window at 14, as though I was standing at the window at 14 seconds when the ball hit, and I was pushing the ball in with my hand, because then if you would look at it that way, havlon the miftereg, and we should say you're potter onusu at that point at 14 at 5:09 and 14 seconds, I'm onus aim biod lahachzira. There's no string on the ball. I can't yank it back. It's too late, past the point of no return. So he says no. Rather, as I said a line earlier, it's nasa hakol, there's time that left your hand. In other words, Nuki Yosef says, what the idea of chitzav, of kocho, and then by extension we'll get to kocho murvo, when I throw a baseball, everything that's going to happen is included in my maisa when I threw it. All the impact, literally, all the impact that the ball will make are part of my maisa at 5:09 and 12 seconds. It's like an accordion. Like, that's all, that all gets folded into the throwing. Everything that happens, that's the chiddush of koko pegufa. And not only am I chai, if I go like that, and I directly hit something, so that's I smashed it. But even if I send something flying, and there was never a line of direct contact between me, the ball, and the window at the same time, but the fact that I gave the ball the force, the koach, or the AP physics fellows, I gave the ball the force that gets it through that window, so that's the gain, the consequence later, smash the window, is part of my initial force. When did I apply the force? Earlier, 5:09, 12 seconds, when it left my hand. So it's not ki'ilu I directly smashed the window at 14 seconds, it's ki'ilu I directly smashed the window at 12 seconds. This is very abstract. For my nafkamina, the Mukyosa says, let's say, it's a little morbid, let's say the fellow drops dead in the middle. The fellow drops dead in the middle. Now a baseball flying or a chet flying a couple of seconds. But he says, let's talk about a fire. Right? Mishum mishum chitza. This means that if a fellow lights a fire, and the fire spreads and spreads and spreads, and it wasn't kolo chitza. Now the fire, we could have already predicted, you know, when he lit the fire at 6 p.m., that there was a path, you could draw a path where the fire could spread over the next few hours. We could have predicted it, we could have seen it being a possibility. And indeed, he lights the fire at 6 p.m., and the fire burns for the next 10 hours. By 4 o'clock in the morning, the whole neighborhood is charred. So we see all of that Rachman Litzlan, damage and destruction, as being the Maisa of the arsonist as of 6 p.m. We don't yet know. When a guy lights a fire, you light a fire, you walk away. So we don't even know, you don't know how much is included in that Maisa. We'll see what happens. Tomorrow we'll know. You know, some of you have heard people say, right, so Cohen says, is he asking me how is my Yom Kippur? I don't know, I'll tell you a year from now. Right? That's his Nimukayosei. You lit the fire. The fire was now. You lit it now. You didn't light it later. It's not Kiyulu you're going around at 4 in the morning lighting things. No. The guy's gone at 4 in the morning. His only Maisa was at 6. And it could be by 2 o'clock in the morning, it's too late to put the fire. The firefighters can no longer fight this fire. The Yosef was Rachman Apatre, because you chose to drop that match on the tinder at 6 p.m. And whatever you're going to end up unfolding from that, whatever's going to end up coming as a result of that, is all considered folded into your Maisa at 6 p.m. We don't even know yet how big that Maisa was. But whatever ends up happening is all part of 6 p.m. And so Nimuk Yosef says, let's say the fellow passes away while the fire is still burning. A fellow lit a fire, forest fire. Could burn for days. Could burn for days and days. Well, sorry? Right. Could be he died as a result of the wildfire. Right? Or not. Or not. So Nukiosa says, one second. Ilu meis kodim shehispik lahadlik ha-gadish. The fellow lights an arsonist lights a fire. He's not an arsonist. Right? So even if it's just an irresponsible camper. Irresponsible camper. Fell out of campfire. And he walked away, didn't take proper safety precautions to make sure the fire is really out, and it's not out, and he walks away, and 2 hours later there's a fire spreading in the forest. And it spreads and spreads and spreads for hours, for days, mi o day. Right? In the meanwhile, the person who lit the fire passes away. The person is dead, has no chiyuvim. Lameisim chavshi. So how much can you sue his estate? If a fellow borrowed money, a fellow owes money, then he passes away. Sometimes you can go after his estate. And he left Yerusha, we can go. Sometimes you can collect. Sometimes this is a larger sugya above Basra and elsewhere for a different time. But sometimes you can say, "Look, you owed money. The fellow owed money b'chayav. He didn't say, 'I didn't pay back b'chayav.' So we'll go to his estate. We'll take from his estate. Can we do that here? How much does he owe? He died at 2 o'clock in the morning." And the fire kept going. Another 3 houses burnt down after he died. How can he be chayv? What happened after he died? He burnt the house at 3 in the morning, he was already dead. The answer is, the house burnt down at 3 in the morning. But Kihilu, he burnt it at 6 p.m. Because it's all, that's this concept of the Nimukei Yosef. It's not as though he's doing the Maisa as it extends. All the implications, and all the consequences, all the hespashtos, is folded back into his one original Maisa at 6 p.m. His one original Maisa at throwing the ball at 5:09 and 12 seconds. Hachenami ilumeis kodem shehispik lahadlik hagodish vaday mishtalei mizak mechrayes nechasim didei. We can. Even if the fellow passes away before the fire has spread fully, we can go after the estate for the full damage. Dachri kan ki seitz eish. Sham Yisham. This is all part of the extent of the fire. He's not a bar chiyuva. No, it's all command adlag meikar b'shas pshia. And then he says, and that's the answer for Shabbos. We wanted to know, Gevalt, I have a candle, a 4-inch candle. I light it. I light the top at 6 p.m. It's burning an inch an hour. So a half hour later, when Shabbos starts, the first half an inch has burned, but the other 3.5 inches are still very much intact. And over the next 3.5 hours, slowly, bit by bit, more of the wick and more of the wax will catch fire. Isn't that? That's my Maisa, Ishim Shem Chitzav. I'm lighting it, and it lit at 9:45. Shabbos Kodesh. He says, yes, it is Kiyu you lit the whole candle, but it's Kiyu you lit the entire candle at 6 p.m. Even though you only lit the top, even though the bottom of the candle only catches fire 4 hours later, but that's, oh, it's not Kiyu you did it 4 hours later. It's Kiyu you didn't do it any Maisa 4 hours later. It's like, the point is, all the implications are part of your original action. You only did one action. Now your action extends. It's that all the implications are folded back into your action. That is the concept of the Nimuka. That's the famous Nimuka Yosef. The Ksos is not sure. Maybe there are some Rishonim who disagree. I'll leave you with two thoughts about this Nimuka Yosef. One is, there are a number of Achronim who say, and including Achronim in this room, Baruch Hashem, who said there could be another way to answer his kasha about Shabbos. Rabbi Shechter talks about this actually in Simin Dalet in Eretz HaTzvi. He says, even if you, now the Nimuka Yosef Chiddush is, if Ki'ilu all happened already, Bishas, literally Bishas Maisa, at the time the person's action, which was an Erev Shabbos. There is another way to answer the Shabbos question, which is maybe you're not chayiv, not because Ki'ilu would happen earlier, but because Chilul Shabbos by definition means Al Yedei Maaseh. Maybe passive Chilul Shabbos is not Chilul Shabbos. The Rav Shechter then goes on to talk about it's not true by Drabbanan, it's only by Daraisas, develops a differentiation between Melachos and Gzeiros. That's a sort of it's a whole world in its own right. But there could be other ways of resolving his question about Shabbos, which again, along those lines, several Achronim make that suggestion, along the lines of that suggestion, that he quotes from the Rav, that maybe, but the Nimuka Yosef says that maybe the sum of the way out of the Shabbos, maybe you need a Maisa. It's Kilo, it happened at the 10, it has to do with me, but I didn't actually light anything. So how do you see that? So Nimuka Yosef says, it's Kilo, you lit it early when you did your lighting. The other point is, the other point will wrap around to the previous sugya. This will wrap things up hopefully with a bow. After that, we'll talk about Chazar, and I'll be more than glad to take loads of questions. Remember that in the previous sugya, on Chavav Mabed, we're talking about Basar Meikara Basar Tavar Mana, Mana Tavira Tavar. Remember that idea? The first case of Zara Kli and Chavav Mabed, take a vase that throw it off the roof. So you can tell you can take a look back. Chavav Mabez. Reuven takes a vase, throws it off the roof. Shimon, and the vase is going to break in 3 seconds when it hits the ground. Shimon decides, hey, batting practice. It's going to break anyways. Like sometimes, you know, sometimes firefighters will train when there's a building that needs to be demolished. So sometimes they'll use it if it's in a safe area, it's not, you know, immediately next to other homes. They'll be doing a controlled burn where they'll light it on fire. So the house has to be knocked down anyways. So let's use it as a chance for firefighters to practice their skills. So here the fellow says, look, Shimon says, there's a vase hurtling towards the ground. Someone threw it off the roof. It's gonna break in a second anyways. So I may as well do some batting practice. He gets out, Shimon takes his bat. It hits the vase, right? That was the case on Chaf Vav on Beis. We're also quoting Yizayin on Beis. Zar Kli Mero Shagag. Reuven throws the vase off the roof. Bo Acher B'Shvaro B'Matel. Shimon comes by and takes a swing and breaks. It would have broken because of Reuven's throw, but it ends up and never makes it to the ground because Shimon hit it with a bat first. You remember the Gemara had said, Pashut Shat, Rashi, we discussed last time, Rabban is a whole different read, in the Melchamos, but Rashi understands that what we're saying is that the fellow below the Shimon who swung with the bat, he's Pater, Mana Tavira Tava, because it's already broken, it's in flight, it's headed towards the ground, it's already Kilo, it's broken. Tosfos says, pick up on Rashi, he says, ah, but how about a different case? How about if I took a ball and I threw it at the vase. Reuven takes a ball. Instead of Reuven throwing the vase is down below. Reuven takes a ball and sends it down at the vase. And the ball is coming down. Shimon comes by, takes his golf club, and whacks the vase before the ball can hit it.
How does he have all this sports equipment?
Well,
that's crazy.
He's going to Cameracton. Clearly. So the question is that the same thing? Mana Tavira Tavar. Right? The Gemara's case, Reuven drops the vase, it's falling to the ground. Shimon comes and swings. Shimon is potter. It may not be nice, but Shimon is potter because the vase is breaking anyhow, the way Rashi reads it. It's Omri Lishaver. It's in flight. It's headed towards the ground. Tosa says, how about case number two? The vase is sitting peacefully on the ground. I drop a ball off the roof. It's heading down. Even a softball is not so soft, as we know. As some of your skulls may know. Right? The softball is only soft until it hits you on the head. Right? So you have a vase down below, a fragile glass vase. You drop a softball, if your aim is good, the vase is a goner. The Taisa says, would I say mana tavira tavar? If I come by and smash the vase, I'm potter because the ball is going to hit it anyways? What would you say? What would you say? What would you say?
Yeah, it should be the same thing.
Yeah, it should be the same thing.
But it feels different.
Now, Tosa says, no. There's a big difference between actually throwing the vase versus just throw a ball. So the Ketzos, and Simri Reish Tzadi, says, 1 second. What would the Nemuke Yosef say about that? What would the Nemuke Yosef say about that?
I threw a ball at a vase. We threw a ball at a vase, right? So what do we call that? It's called a case, right? So my doctor says, hey, 1 second. I should say, it's going to break. That's already all included in my Misa. So So says, wow. The Muke Yosef is really like Mana Tavira Tavai. Gevald. It's Mamash Gemara. Except Muke Yosef is applying even to when you throw the ball or the chait at the vase. The Tosas disagrees. So the Ketzos thinks we have on our hands the Machlokas Tosos and Muke Yosef. That's the way the Ketzos presents it. The Ketzos thinks that according to Muke Yosef, Shimon with the golf club, not only Shimon putter with the bat, Shimon's also putter with the golf club. The vase is already on the ground. Reuven threw a rock or a ball at the vase. Then Shimon comes, it's on the ground. You don't use a baseball bat, something on the ground. It's a golf club. Right? So that's why in the second Tyson case, right, Shimon comes with the golf club, hits it. Ketzos says, according to Muke Yosef, Shimon's putter. It's already broken. Doesn't matter whether you threw the vase or you threw the ball. Zarkates! You could say it practically. You never know for sure if you're going to miss or not. Okay, now, again, if it's the ball, but if you had like an enormous boulder that you dropped, a sheet of concrete that you dropped, sometimes aim is not really, there's not that much room to maneuver. Maybe. They want to offer a different differentiation. Again. The Nemuke Yosef told us that when I shoot the arrow, throw the ball, light the fire, whatever happens as a result, it's already folded back into my mice. Right? I never touched the item that gets broken or burnt. I just threw a chetz, kocho, and yet it's all part of my original mice. Meanwhile, Tosfos tells us, you drop a ball, you throw a ball at the vase, if the guy Shimon comes and takes a swing at it with a golf club, Shimon's going to be chayiv. Why? According to Muke Yosef, it should be potter. Shimon should be potter because the Keilu Reuven array broke it. So one approach is in the Chanami, Taka Machlokas. So says the case of Tosas, where Tosas says Shimon is chayiv, Muke Yosef would disagree. So Machlokas, in which case, Tosas disagrees with some of this thinking. We're saying before ways you could disagree with the Muke Yosef, according to Ketzos, Tosas disagrees with Muke Yosef. So Tosas not chazal in the days. It's Tosas non chazal in the days. I'm sorry. Tosas not yud zayin in the days. Tosas not yud zayin in the days. The bottom Tosas yud zayin in the days. Yibra maso zorik. And maybe, or we'll close with this, or maybe they're not really the same thing. That's the way the stipler goes. Maybe some of you are thinking along these lines. I want to hear what you guys are saying. Maybe they're not really arguing because they're two different things. And here we're going to close with a way to limit
what the Milchi Yosef said. Maybe Milchi Yosef was only going so far, but Tosfos is talking about going even farther. What would you say? Michal, you haven't spoken up yet there? Maybe first responding to this? Yeah. It was my Maisa. It's not a gram. It's Maisa Adam.
Maisa is done and considered. But when that piece of brass burns, that's a result of the original action that was taken. It's not a new action that the same was happening earlier.
Good. My Maisa, in terms of the Maisa, it all relates back to my Maisa. But at the same time, mana tavira tavar, so let me say, I think what you're saying, tell me if I'm saying the same thing, mana tavira tavar isn't just saying it relates back to my maisa, it's saying that the impact, the result has already occurred. This thing is already a broken thing.
You don't know that it's going to break, or it does, it's just that once it breaks, it's
okay, so now you're going a little bit back to Eitan's approach a little bit, of the practicality, do we really know, or more fundamentally, what that captures is that the nothing has happened yet. The candle does burn at 10 o'clock at night. We're not going to say that the candle is gone at 6. If we really would think the candle is gone at 6, then you had a Shabbos suit in the dark. You weren't Mekayim there a Shabbos. So you're saying, obviously, the candle is burning at 10 o'clock at night. The Totsah is happening when it's happening. We're not suspending logic or reality. We're not saying that the whole candle burnt at 6 p.m. That's absurd. Of course the candle, part of it burned to 6, and part of it burned to 7, part of it burned to 8, part of it burned to 9, part of it burned to 10. The results happened when they happened. But in terms of relating the results back to which maisa do we pin them on, we pin them on the maisa which was done by me at the time that I did my maisa. So we're looking from the point of view of the maisa, or for those who like yeshiva shesprach, looking at the point of view of the pu'ula, so the Mugayis is saying the Chiddush in the pu'ula, it relates back to the pu'ula of 6 p.m. In terms of the chalois, the toitzah, or the matzav, whatever other sprach you would like to use, that hasn't happened yet. It's not that ki'ilu, the vase is already broken. The chiddush of mana tevira tavar, that's a higher, greater chiddush. That not only ki'ilu I did, or relates back to my action, but it's as though the thing is already broken. That's in the cheftz of the vase, if you like. The totsav it being broken, that's a higher madriga. That's asking for a lot more, and that you'll only, that's a chiddush that you'll only say, as Tosa says, when Reuven actually held the vase. Reuven held the vase and threw the vase. He did a maisa to the vase itself. Then we can suggest mana tevira tava. But if Reuven did nothing to the vase, he just threw a ball at it. So yes, whatever happens relates back to the maisa of when I threw it. But it will not. But I can't say ki'ilu, it was already not asa. Question? Yeah, responding to that.
Just a little louder. You have to compete with the air conditioner.
I think one of the things is the shot behind Mana Tevira Tavar is that when he shot there, since it seems like there's an holding, when I drop the boulder onto the bus, it's like a 99.9% chance that it's going to break bar or some crazy circumstance, and so therefore it's considered ki'ilu is already broken.
Gewaldic. Very, very sharp. So Nadav is saying that if you accept the ksos, so then you're equating the Mukhi Yosef's chiddush with mana tevira tavar, which is lovely if mana tevira tavar is pashtut. But if it's not, than not. Okay, but it's a particular take on Isha Mishim Chitza. So in a Hanami, the Rava was Mesupik, maybe Nimugirisa would say, according to Rava, I'm not sure if you say this Chiddush or not. But you're saying if Rav Yosef thinks this is the only way, right? You're saying if Rav Yosef thinks this is the only sensible way to read Rav Yochanan, and so if Rav is convinced we should pass like Rav Yochanan, then this is, yeah, that's a very sharp point. It does become a weakness. I agree. If thinking it through, it does become a weakness in the Tzos. How are you going to understand Rav?